My name is Ayşe Yusavaş, and my new book is entitled Long Distance.
I love a short story collection and had the privilege of speaking with Ayşegül Savaş about her collection, Long Distance. These stories are all set in vibrant locales and typically feature young people who are trying to figure things out, or as she puts it, yearning for communion. From KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network, this is Marginalia. I'm Beth Golay, and here's my conversation with Ayşegül Savaş. Could you describe this collection for our listeners?
The collection is, these aren't all of the short stories I've ever written in my life. They are pieces that I hope thematically go together. And they're mostly about young people trying to figure things out. Lots of expats, lots of international students, people away from native countries in Rome, in Marseille, in Paris, in Istanbul. And I think one connecting element in the collection is a yearning for communion and also an inability to empathize fully with the other.
You know, sometimes a collection can be difficult to talk about, so many of my questions are going to be about craft. And as you mentioned, one common thread, at least that I noticed, were the vibrant cities these stories are set in, even though some were unnamed, and living a long distance from where you were born. How do you determine setting for each story?
Sometimes I start with the setting. For example, the title story, Long Distance, is set in Rome. And quite literally, I thought, wouldn't it be so fun to write a story set in Rome? And then, you know, I started thinking, who could the characters be? I wrote it during the pandemic, so I just wanted to travel in my imagination. And there are other stories in which the setting is not named. And that's probably because the story came to me first, the characters or the fates of the characters came to me first. And then I decided that the geography wasn't important or might be distracting to the story. And I also wanted to maybe set it in a more universal metropolitan.
You know, so many of the narrators in the story, I mean, you had such varied locales and there was just a blend of languages. How many languages do you speak?
My native tongue is Turkish and closely followed by English. I learned English at a very young age, so I can say I'm almost fluent, although I count in Turkish. And I think that's the sign that that's the language that comes easiest to you. Apparently I speak in Turkish as when I first wake up. I also speak Russian moderately. And since I live in Paris, I speak French. And at one time I spoke Danish, but I have very sadly forgotten it.
Very impressive. I said I wasn't going to focus on individual stories, but there was a line in one of them that I'm still thinking about. It was in Future Selves, and the narrator tells us, "In turn, I asked them where they wanted to settle in the future, what they wanted to see from their bedroom windows." And this is, you know, less about setting than state of mind, perhaps, but is this something you ask of your characters?
It's probably something I ask my friends at dinner. And it's definitely the type of landscape in which a character feels most comfortable is something I think about all the time. And even though, you know, Future Selves is set in an unnamed place, in an unnamed city, it still has so much to do with setting. You don't have to know what city you're seeing from your bedroom window, but you do know what sort of atmosphere you want to be shaping your life. And so that's something that I'm very conscious of. And that's something that's very appealing to me when I write.
Another tie among the stories is that they're all about varying points of relationship, as you mentioned. And something about the format of a short story feels so appropriate in capturing these specific moments in life. Is this a theme that you turn to often in your writing?
It is. I mean, the short story is wonderful at capturing a specific moment in a relationship, whereas in a novel, you might look at the evolution of a relationship. So if the specificity of a certain relationship is interesting to me, the point in which a friendship is about to break, the point in which a character is going to betray the older person they have been living with. These are perfectly suited, and those moments are so interesting to me because they define who we are sort of spiritually. They define who we will become in a very mysterious way, I think. In short stories, I try to frame those moments, not really come up with any conclusion for, the fate of the character, what will become of them, but try to focus at that moment as almost a microcosm of the rest of their lives.
Do you have a preference in your fiction writing, long form novels or short stories?
No, I love both of them. I said recently that, a novel feels very premeditated, and a short story is like an affair that one has. It's a crime of passion almost. And they're both intense and tiring and challenging and wonderful in different ways. And I think I go to them for different forms of wisdom and different forms of understanding.
Let's talk about the narrators of the stories. Most were from a female perspective, but I believe one story, The Guest, had a male narrator. How do you decide who gets to tell the story, and was it difficult for you to write through a male lens?
It wasn't difficult at all because when I first started writing short stories, for some reason, I only wrote from male perspectives. And there's something very patriarchal, I think, about the reason I did this, that I thought that will give me authority as a writer if my main characters are male. I also thought it's better for me to distance myself from the protagonist, from the main character, because surely you're not supposed to write about yourself or about your own experience. And the sign of a good writer is the fact that, she can invent something that is completely different from herself. And, over the years, I think I discovered that this is a very naive way to think about writing. Even if you're not writing autobiographically, you have to be writing things that are profoundly intimate to your experience of the world. And so a female perspective was a natural choice for me. So it was very easy for me actually in The Guest because I was going back to the male narrators from the stories I was writing 15 years ago. So I knew the voice. But this time I thought the subject matter was also something I was quite intimate with. Being in a relationship from, two different cultures and the type of rupture that can happen when your loyalties shift in the relationship towards your own family or towards your own social class or your own cultural background.
Stories and collections are often published individually in literary journals and magazines. Have these stories changed since their original conception to this published collection?
Not very much. I believe there is one story, Ghosts. I think it's the first story that I wrote in the collection, and it was previously published in 212 magazine. And there were a few sort of practical details that didn't make sense that my editor pointed out to me and said, like, look, we have to ask someone who knows how to sail how things are going to work in the boat. But other than that, some of these stories were published in the New Yorker magazine, and the New Yorker's editors, they're really detectives. They find the tiniest illogical statement and, any sort of repetition. So I did feel the stories that were edited with the New Yorker were quite solid. So they haven't really changed. Those who were published haven't changed since then.
You are the narrator of the audiobook as well. What was that experience like for you, reading your own stories?
Oh, it was tiring. I guess I thought something interesting happened to me when I was reading these stories. As I was saying, a lot of them are female characters, but hearing all of those stories in my own voice made me feel as if I was the protagonist of all of those stories. And it was a tiring experience to go through so many instances of being unempathetic. And I thought, you know, why are they, why can't they get over their closed off vision of the world? But it was also a very intimate experience. I had never read an entire book before. And to see that I am interested in the same things over and over again, and that there might be some pattern to my mind that's not visible to me on a daily basis, but that comes out in writing, sort of acknowledge the mystery of the writing process, and that, you know, the work is wiser than its author in some ways.
Do you have a favorite story in the collection?
I think perhaps The Guest is my favorite story. I'm also quite fond of Future Selves because that story was the basis of my novel, The Anthropologists, and it's very, very different from how the book turned out. It's about Future Selves is about a couple who is looking for an apartment to buy, and this is, you know, the framework for the novel is a couple who's looking for an apartment to buy. But then the novel is a very happy one, I would say. And Future Selves is a very melancholy story about the impossibility to imagine a future. And I feel fond of just the structure it gave me to continue writing and to continue exploring a young couple's lives.
Do you have a hope for what readers will take away from this book?
I hope that reading these stories doesn't feel like a dead end. I hope that reading the stories, it doesn't feel that they have to learn something or that there is a moral, but rather there are things to think about, that there is mystery in the world and in life, and that people aren't black and white or good and evil. These are all things I'd like readers to take away.
And we have talked about a lot. Is there anything that you would like to talk about that I haven't asked?
There is a story here that whose creation is quite interesting for me. It's called Practicality. It's the shortest in the collection. And it was a commission from the Royal Academy magazine to write about a painting, to write a story in response to a painting. And the painting I picked was a young girl holding flowers. And I've never written a story on commission before, so I didn't think that I could achieve any sort of depth or intimacy with the story just because I hadn't been inspired, you know. And I often argue that, you know, short stories have to come to you whole, and they appear in your life, and they don't let go until you write them. And it's this intense 2 or 3 weeks of working on them and sort of knowing exactly where you're headed, which isn't the experience I have with a novel. The novel is a process of discovery. So when I got this commission, I was excited, but I was also a little skeptical that I could write something interesting. And I think the reason that the story ultimately worked for me, or, you know, it came to life in a way that I wanted to include in the short story collection was because I was writing in response to another artwork. And I do think that the artwork makes the story come alive, even if we're not seeing the art in the story. There is this transparent undercurrent in the story for me that is feeding it, some sort of a ghost with which it is in conversation.
Well, the book is Long Distance. Aishagul Savash, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Beth. It was a pleasure.
That was Aishagul Savash, author of the book Long Distance, which was published by Bloomsbury. Marginalia was produced at KMUW Wichita and is part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torin Anderson. Our editors are Luann Stevens and Haley Krausen. Our producers are Haley Krausen and Katie Lanning, and our marketing coordinator is Carly Cooper. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.